Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fractured Not Broken, the Relationship Wellness Podcast. It is your guy, Coach Raj, and I am excited to be here with you today. You know, you may have heard, or you may recall, that in the trailer, I shared that the goal of the pod was to transform how we show up and present in the relationships that matter most. And so this is something that is kind of going to come straight from my heart today. It's not anything that I have written, but it's something I want to share, and I hope it helps. So as I said, also, there are things that you're going to learn about me. And so what I want to do is share some things about me and how I think about things in the relationships that I have, that I participate in, that I have participated in, and quite frankly, that have left me hurt and bruised just like everyone else. And it also will also possibly will explain how I came to coach, because this matters to me. And so I guess we could title this one, if you would, How to Mend, or The Courage to Mend Relationships That Are Strained. And they can be family, they can be romantic, they can be even professional, quite frankly. But the idea, though, is to really just kind of discuss the challenges that come with it, and really how you think about it. And as you know, we deal a lot with emotional intelligence. And so you'll hear some of that in this as well. So what I've had several conversations with people who are challenged in their relationships, be they parent-child, be they sibling, be they romantic. Again, it doesn't matter the type, because we're humans first, and how we interact and engage with each other matters. And it requires courage, especially when things don't go well, or things haven't gone well, or you have experiences with a person and that you just expect it to be this way always, because this is how it's been. Because you may feel about it a certain way, but that doesn't mean that the other person thinks about it, feels about it, processes it as you do. And something for me that I have learned or realized in my life is that I love hard. I really do. You know, people that are in my life and that matter to me, they get all of me, right? And the way that I explain it, or have shared it in the past or before, is, you know, persons who are in my heart, in my life, they earned their way in, right? And those persons who are no longer in my life, in my heart, they earned their way out. And I didn't want them to go, but there were choices that they made. And so when I talk about the courage to mend, it was not a matter of, oh, let me just let you go, let me throw you away. Let me understand what went wrong. Where was the breakdown? Let me ask a question. And you can do those things, but that doesn't mean that you're going to receive a response. It doesn't mean that the person's going to be open. It doesn't mean that anything's going to be resolved. It may just mean that you have to accept the reality that is that person's choice. And, you know, it's interesting, because when I think about it, some of the experiences in my own life that I've had with people that are either no longer in my life or still in my life, but on the periphery, it wasn't anything that I saw right away. It was kind of like, you know, because you don't want to see the worst in people. You don't think, oh, they meant to do this, or this was intentional, or what have you. But things happen. And so when you stop and kind of reflect a bit and say, wait a minute, what exactly is going on? Because this behavior, this treatment, these interactions, they don't feel good. And if they don't feel good, hopefully you find the courage to ask a question. I know I did, for me. And again, just because we ask doesn't mean that that answer is going to be what we hope to hear. It doesn't even mean that we're going to get an answer. It just means that we could, if we choose, to find the courage to ask, you know, what went wrong? What did something happen? If you make the effort to repair and the person isn't open, again, not much you can do there. So what I've learned is that although you may have the courage to lean into the conflict or the tension, you know, also understand that if that person is not open or receptive, it is not a reflection of your effort. It's not a reflection of your desire. It's not a reflection of who you are or your value. It's just where they are. And that's sometimes difficult to separate, because you know how you feel, and we can tend to overlay how we feel onto the situation or the experience, and we conflate. But the idea is to, as best you can, to observe the experience and separate how you feel about the experience from it, because that impacts how you feel, impacts how you think about it. So I could give you some examples. In fact, I think I should, because I don't want to talk around this. So I'm reminded of, there are two that come to mind. I'm not sure how much of them I will share, but I will give you some insight into one in particular. It was a person that I knew he and I were friends for a decade, and I thought we were friends. And I'm not going to tell you that it was all bad, because it wasn't. It was an experience that I learned from, that I grew in. And I believe that for at least my perception, because I can't speak for his, and I wouldn't, my perception was we were similar. Our values were similar. How we felt about our families were similar. We were good friends. We used to hang out. I liked to smoke cigars. He smoked cigars. You know, so it was just a cool time. We played golf. We did a lot of things that were fun, and traveled to play golf, hung out, that whole drill. And again, for a decade, right? We were, well, better yet, I'll say it this way, 9 years, okay? About 8.5, really, because for the last year and a half of our friendship at this time, I noticed behaviors, right? And I remember kind of giving it a year, like time, not so much that I intentionally gave it a year, but I wasn't sure what I was seeing. And what I realized is that the behavior continued, it persisted, different types of things, different examples. And it had gotten to a point where I actually had crafted an email and sent it to and shared it with him. And we met to discuss it. And in that time, he said to me, he says, you know, I got your email. Your points are valid. However, you know, I can't make any promises that this won't happen again. I was like, whoa. Well, that was tough, because it wasn't about, although he read what I shared with him, it wasn't important enough for any course correction or any change. And so the behavior continued. In fact, it got worse. And I was like, man, what is going on? And so we had a trip coming up, another golf trip, another hangout, myself, him, and another guy that we used to travel with. And I remember saying, because things had really declined to the point where I said, you know, one or two things are going to happen after this trip. Either we will repair or mend the fence, or we will no longer be friends. And unfortunately, the latter is the case, or became the case. We were no longer friends. And so we discontinued speaking after that trip, because the trip was challenging. My God, was it challenging. But I'm saying these things. I'm sharing this for a reason, because we see things and we don't always know what we're seeing until people show us. And now it's not about how I feel about it. It's like, wait a minute. Oh, this person's intentionally treating me this way. And when that realization happens, it's not always easy to accept, and certainly not understand. Not easy to understand anyway. So, yeah, spin forward. It was like maybe a year and a half later, where he wanted to talk. And the way that he presented his interest or whatever it was to talk was like, hey, I'm sure you have some questions. You know, let me know if you'd like to talk. Of course, I didn't appreciate that, because what I realized is that this person's arrogance and condescending attitude and tone persisted. And that didn't work for me. So although I was once open to understanding what his challenge was, what his issues were, whatever was going on with him was, I was once interested in that, and I wasn't a year and a half later. And I was okay with it. And I think that's the point I want to make to you, that even though that was a challenge, it was tough to face the things that were happening real time, those experiences that I shared with him, that he acknowledged, but said, I'm not going to change, or I'm not making any promises that I'm not going to change him or to change him. He chose to be who he was. And I had a choice. I could accept that and pursue peace, or I could reject it and keep trying. And sometimes when I talk about loving yourself more, when I talk about choosing you, that's what that means. You choose you. And it's okay. It's not about how someone feels, what someone thinks. And it's not a position or posture of anger. It's a posture of self-preservation, because you matter. And I realized I mattered, right? And so there are other relationships that I've had that have not, they're still strained, quite frankly. And it's not because of lack of effort. It's because in those additional experiences, it was a matter of not even being able to have the conversation I had with the person I just shared with you. But with these other individuals, it's more of accepting where they are. See, you've heard me say, or you may have heard me say, that it doesn't matter the validity of what you want to share, or the question or the issue that you want to discuss, if the person isn't open. And that's the caution, because it's so important to us to share what it is we want to share, and we want them to hear it, but we don't take the initial step, which I believe is a critical one, to pause and say, hey, let me ask you a question. Are you even open to having this conversation? Because not doing that, you can think that you can easily feel like something's wrong with me. What did I do wrong? Why? I don't understand why they won't fill in the blank. Why don't they want to listen? Why don't they want to talk? Whatever the issue is, or the thing is that you may be feeling. This is why I'm encouraging you to separate what you feel from identifying if the person is even open to having a conversation, and not to compound or to conflate or to pile on to what will make it one thing, because they really are mutually exclusive. Your desire to learn if they're open. And then the second thing is to have the conversation if they are. So again, the other or additional relationships are still strained. I am not so much okay with it, but I accept it because there's nothing I can change. And that's the thing I really want to share with you about that. The things that we can't change, when people show us not so much who they are, but through their actions. It's not about what we think about their actions. It's what they've shown us. Because if we allow what we see to inform how we respond, we will be so much better. We will be so much better. And not just respond out of what we saw or how we feel about what we saw. What we saw is what we saw. And then we allow how we feel to kind of measure us, or to see where we are around the thing that we saw, because the thing that we saw can send us soaring high. It can bring us down. And if we can be totally objective, it can keep us centered, because like, hey, that's not a reflection of me. That's a choice that person made. And it's not always easy to see that. It's not always easy to parse that. And this is where EQ comes in, right? This is the self-awareness. This is the self-management. Social awareness speaks to what you saw, but self-awareness and self-management speaks to how you respond, right? Especially when it's someone you care about, someone you actually love. And it doesn't have to be romantic. It can be non-romantic, because again, none of the relationships I'm sharing with you that I've had in the past, or that I've mentioned are still strained, are romantic. They are non-romantic, and they hurt just as much. Right? Because again, I love love, right? I still want people to succeed regardless of the challenges I have. But my heart's desire is that you understand that although I do this work and I love this work and I will continue to do this work and I will work with you, right, to help you be better, how you show up and present in relationships, that's exactly why we do this pod. That's exactly why I do the work that I do. I just want you to understand that Coach Raj is human, right? I have feelings, I have emotions, and sometimes stuff's not easy. And I really hope that you understand that the goal is to be honest and transparent, that relationship challenges are real and they require courage to lean in to that challenge and say, hey, I want to have this conversation. I would like to, but I'm only willing to share what's important to me once I verify and validate that you're open to listening. Because if you're not, then there's really nothing for me to share. And I may just have to write it down, and you may never know what I felt or thought. And that's okay. The key is to not hold it in. The key is to not harbor stress. The key is to not harbor resentment and anger. If you have done all that you can do, and the person that you're seeking to mend the relationship with either A, isn't open, or B, has low EQ, which means they're not self-aware, they're not socially aware, they're not interested in relationship management. Any of the attributes or components of emotional intelligence don't really seem to land with them. There's nothing you can do, folks. Just accept it. That's what I had to do. That's what I've chosen to do. And that's what I choose to do, because this is an ongoing thing. It's not something that we just do one time. It's something that we literally manage. I hope this makes some sense. I really do. Because again, this was not scripted, but I do hope it helps. Again, a person's choices are not a reflection of you. And then sometimes, you know, there's another side, right? Sometimes people just aren't courageous enough to, they may sense something is wrong or something is off, but aren't willing to have the conversation with you. Aren't willing to, they perceive. See, they operate out of perception versus asking a question, which is why you'll often hear me say, ask questions. I'd rather we not operate out of assumption, but ask a question to validate if your thought is accurate or correct, not just based on, well, this is my perception because this is what you've shown me. No, if you've shown me something and I have a perception, then I also now have an opportunity to ask a question versus assuming that this is what you intended or what you meant. Let me tell you or ask you or share with you what I'm noticing and then ask you a question around it, around that. There's just ways to do this, folks. And this is the kind of work I do with people to help to offer perspectives for consideration, not what I think you should do. And this is one of the last points I'll make. I do not want, it is not my heart's desire for you to think what I think. It's my heart's desire that you are thinking for yourself, because the choices that you must make, that's how your life plays out. That's what's going to matter in your life. You're the one who has to live with it, not what someone else thinks. This is why we don't do what someone should do. If I were you, I would do this. Here's what you need to do. Last I checked, you have to make that decision, not someone who's well-intending or tells you, oh, I love you and this is why this is important. That's great. Mutually exclusive. The decision is yours. Okay, there's so much more, and there will be so much more. But I hope that made some sense. Yeah. Oh, I mentioned working with me. So in the, what you'll see in the description is how to get, if you want to work with me, if you want to grab a copy of the book, if you want to schedule coaching, if you want to book me for an event, any of those things, you can get to my link tree. It's in the description, and you can see exactly how to connect with me, how to work with me. And I look forward to hearing from you. Listen, I will see you soon. And again, on the next episode, it is your guy, Coach Raj, and I love. I'll see you soon. Take care. Bye.